urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
My friends, it is so good to be with you today, October 3rd, 2022. It's rainy and dark and dismal and not a very nice day, but we are so grateful for the rain to help us with our drought in the Mid-Atlantic region. But as we begin this program, let us remember our friends in Florida and the Carolinas who have suffered from Hurricane Ian. And let us pray for them in a special way today, that they receive the help, the medical help, the physical and spiritual help that they need. And Lord Jesus, in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we offer up this prayer today for our brothers and sisters in the hurricane-ravaged South. We pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that you reach out your hand and bring restoration mentally, physically, and spiritually to our brothers and sisters. We pray for food, for clothing, for housing, for all the medical needs of the people. Lord Jesus, have mercy on all of our friends. Have mercy on the people who will deliver the goods to these people, and also our friends in Puerto Rico. Let's pray for them. Let us pray because they were ravaged right before Ian hit Florida. So let us remember, Lord Jesus, all those who are suffering today. We offer this program up to you. We thank you and praise you for all that you're about and all that you want. And we pray for that one listener who needs to listen today to this special program. We ask that you reach the highways, the byways, the homes, the computers, the cell phones, Lord Jesus, the computers, to reach the people who need to hear this program. We thank you and praise you, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. Well, my friends, what a week, right? What a week. So let us always, always keep our brothers and sisters in prayer who are suffering so much. And today, as a result of all this suffering, I was praying, Lord, what do you want this week? And a beautiful woman named Ann Leopold contacted me. And many of you have heard Larry Leopold on the air with me regarding the divine will. And Luis Picaretta. And I have to have Larry back for an update on the divine will and what's been happening with his ministry. But in the meantime, we have Ann Leopold who will be with us, and what a program, what a program. It's so prophetic that she contacted me, and I want to tell you a little bit about Ann. Ann is the founder of Emmaus Home, which was founded in 2015 on behalf of her fourth son, Kevin, who has autism, intellectual disabilities, and epilepsy. Unhappy with group homes that were not religious or faith-based, she founded her own 501c3 named after Luke's gospel, The Road to Emmaus. And just as Jesus' disciples didn't recognize him at first, our society oftentimes doesn't recognize all the talents, strength, and blessings that people with disabilities give to us. Ann Leopold has a BA in theology, and she has taught private schools and homeschooling co-ops. She's married to Larry. They are the proud parents of a blended family with 15 children. 15 children, a blended family. What Ann is about, we'll cover a little bit about how she started. And obviously, it was in 2015, and what has happened since then, it is a providential, amazing story. But if I had an award for a woman of courage and a woman of grit, Ann Leopold would get it. She just plowed through all the nonsense, the paperwork, all the things that held her back. And right now, my friends, there are 5 men's homes for men with autism, intellectual disabilities, and 2 girls' homes for women with autism and intellectual disabilities. And my friends, there's actually a waiting list for these homes. So Anne is very, very busy. She set up the nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and she has a great need because they're growing so fast. And as someone who knows a little bit about people with disabilities, I have a family member who is working actually for the state of Pennsylvania now with people with disabilities doing assessments, and it's a new position, and I thought it's very providential that Ann Leopold would actually contact me, because I'm becoming so familiar with the great need and the lack of compassion sometimes for people not understanding what is the need for young men and women. I mean, when they're younger, there are probably, I don't know how many programs, but Ann Leopold, she recognized the need for older men and women. And she started with men because of her 4th son, Kevin. So when Ann calls in, buckle your seatbelt. That's my favorite line when we have a powerful guest. And God willing, because I'm calling in from a remote location, the phone will not drop this week as it did last week. My apologies. If it drops, just stay on the line, and I'll call on another phone from this location. And God willing, it will be a program that will touch those of you who are listening, who know young adults and even teenagers with autism and developmental disabilities. And where do we go from here?
Ann is on the line.
All right. Ann Leopold, welcome. You're live on the air.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I just gave a little bit of background, Ann, about the 5 men's homes and the 2 girls' homes. Tell our listeners who may be unfamiliar, I told a little bit about your story with Kevin in 2015. So how has this evolved? I mean, is the need this great and no one's paying attention?
There's a tremendous need, and more than ever. Just, you know, in our own little nonprofit, and my experience, I hear from families all the time who really are desiring faith-based delivery of care and values-based, which really are very few and far between in the country. Once a parent, you know, have come to the decision that they can no longer care for their beloved children with disabilities, because it doesn't get easier.
So, Ann, this is not a new issue or new challenge. What happened before you took notice in 2015? Did the government fund homes?
In the 1960s, you know, institutions had to... institutions had to basically go away, and there was laws, national laws, that wanted people with disabilities in a family-like setting, in a home, like what you live in, like I live in a community of choice, you know, where they could be totally integrated. So there were institutions prior to the 60s, even up through really the 90s, where folks like my son would live with hundreds of other people and be treated more often than not very inhumanely. There wasn't much self-determination or choice for the individual.
And so in 2015, you witnessed your son suffering. It was a light bulb moment for you. What happened exactly, Anne?
It's funny you say light bulb. He has a lot of OCD, you know, in addition to his autism and his epilepsy and his intellectual disabilities. But he has a real fascination with light bulbs. That's another story. But I really found out about L'Arche. It's a community, international community, founded by Jean Vanier in the 60s in Canada. And I started reading his books, and it really touched my heart. And I wanted to somehow replicate what he was doing. He died last year, I think last May. And it was just living in community, you know, living in houses of faith and virtue and being a community together. I know that the country wants all of our guys integrated, but, you know, at the end of the day, they like to be together. I just wanted to start something like that. There wasn't a L'Arche in the area, so I thought I would start something similar to L'Arche, and that's what happened.
So I know you started in a parish, and
yes.
Now I understand you're growing, and you have so many needs. Tell us, are you growing by word of mouth? Are you growing through agencies? What is happening?
Well, I think mostly it's through word of mouth, which is a great kind of referrals to get. One family tells another, and that's what the referrals we're getting, although we still do get referrals from the state. You know, we have a vacancy list that we have to post monthly. Yes, we just opened our seventh house yesterday. So it's really exciting, and there's a possible eighth to be open by the end of the year. It's very exciting, and we also have a waiting list of people that heard about us, and they want their, you know, loved ones cared for by us.
And is there a time limit? You know, is there an entrance age and an exit age, or is it until death? I mean, how does this process work?
Well, it's 18, you know, legally, even though in Pennsylvania, people with disabilities go to school till 22 if they choose. But they can still live in a group home at age 18. And it's our prayer that they'll stay with us, you know, for the rest of their lives. That's the hope and plan, you know, that they would stay with us. Now, sometimes their health doesn't allow it. You know, we've had a few people who've had to leave due to medical conditions that became apparent, and that we couldn't take care of them in such an intense way that they need it. But our prayer certainly is to give them a home. It's their home, and they all love their homes.
And you said it's our prayer. Tell our listeners, what is the prayer environment? Does one have to be a Catholic to enter these homes?
No, we respect all faith traditions or no traditions. However, they have to respect our origins, and our origin is the Catholic tradition. Several of our residents do go to Mass weekly. Another gentleman goes to a Baptist church. But they do pray. They're encouraged to pray grace and pray together. And it is my prayer. This has been 7.5 years. I really want to have like a prayer community, and maybe even, you know, expand it to the greater community. Like anybody can come with or without disabilities, just to be together and understand each other and foster a appreciation and love for each other.
Well, if you're just tuning in, our special guest today is Anne Leopold, and we're talking about Emmaus Homes and what is happening via the Holy Spirit and Anne's grit and courage and all the family members who are working with her. So if you have someone with autism or an intellectual disability, please call them now and tell them to listen in, because we have a long way to go. So, Anne, would, say, for example, there is a young parent, and would they have to qualify being that they can't take care of the individual, or, you know, what are the qualifications to get in? Would it have to be someone who's abandoned to get into one of the homes?
Well, basically, everyone in our homes has what's called a waiver. So it's a budget from the state. and it helps to pay for their sometimes 24/7 care, like my own son. So the first thing a parent would have to do is get their child into the system, you know, into their county case management system. And, you know, they have to prove that there is a disability and it was before the age of 18. Oftentimes they require a psychological report, you know, a physical from their primary. And they have what's called a supports coordinator. And that person coordinates their care. And it's all based on their needs, you know, and they do like an assessment and then they determine how much care is needed. Some of our folks only require maybe 3 hours a day, but then the majority require 12 to 24 hours a day, every day. We are state licensed, so we are supported by the state. However, you know, it's never enough with the state. They take a long time, and, there's no cost of living increase, so. It's been challenging these last few years, you know, with the inflation. But that would be the first thing, to contact your local Office of Developmental Disabilities in your county. And I can't advocate enough, the younger, the better. Like, don't wait till your child's 22 and, oh, my gosh, you know, the bus doesn't stop anymore and you don't know what to do. So it's something that you have to work on, you know, in their teenage years, so everything is in place. Most of it does, unfortunately, fall with the parent, and the more assertive the parent in advocating, the better.
And walk our listeners through a typical day. You know, so one has to live there in one of the homes. It's not a day program, correct?
That's correct. They go out into the community of their choice, where, you know, what activities they like to engage in. But it's called community participation supports. So all of our individuals have that in their plan, and the idea is to have them go to access the places of their choosing. We only have one house parent right now in the new house that just opened yesterday in Westchester, or Chester County. That model was something I had in the early years, but unfortunately we don't have that at this point. It's very difficult to find people committed to living in an intentional community. You know, it's hard because you live and you work in the same place. It just gets a little gray. So we have people coming in, you know, in shifts, and they're all amazing people. You know, we put them through a lot of training and, you know, a rigorous interview process. So we have very, very good people, I'm proud to say, working with our core members. We call them individuals we care for core members because they're the core of what we do.
So, Anne, is prayer part of everyday life at one of your homes specifically?
Yes.
Or
yes,
it varies?
Yes. Very much so. You know, they have their special intentions, you know, they pray for, as well as some of them love to listen to K-Love and praise and worship. My own son has a helper here right now who, you know, prays with him and blesses him and, you know, invokes the Holy Spirit to come upon him. And, you know, I'm so blessed to have that. In fact, I'm in my son's basement now. I'm expecting him any minute to come barreling down the steps, but so prayer definitely is a great part of the mission, and certainly I pray by name for all of our people daily, you know, because they are, they suffer, you know, they suffer on many levels in their inability to communicate. Some of our people don't speak, their misunderstanding of other people of them. Their physical health, you know, we've recently had a few of our residents hospitalized. You know, they're fragile in their disabilities.
And are the homes given to you, or do you have to purchase them, or how does this work?
Yeah, oh, I wish I wish that someone would give us a home. No, we have to purchase them. So we mostly rent, although we own one of the homes. So we do have an asset. But my goal is that we would own the home because it's always better, you know, especially in this day and age, to own your and have assets and stability. You know, we recently this summer had a home in Montgomery County for the girls, and the landlord, short notice, told us he wasn't going to rent to us again. He wanted to sell his home, and we weren't in a position to buy it. So, you know, I had to really quickly scramble and pray to the Holy Spirit to guide me to another home. And he did. You know, within a month, they found, even less than that, they found an even better home. So that's just one of the miracles of Emmaus Home, that God closes the door, but he opens it in a much better way, even if we don't understand it when we're going through it.
Share with our listeners one of your miracle stories that you're the most proud of that has touched your life in a very special way. Just one story that stands out for you.
I'll tell you a story very recent and very dear to my heart because it involved my own son, Kevin. Kevin has autism, epilepsy, and intellectual disabilities. And Kevin was really struggling. He's very limited on speaking. He can speak a little bit. But we were just not getting people that understood him and that he felt safe and secure with. So when he doesn't feel safe and he can't say that, then he acts out. And he can become violent. And he can, throw things, break things, throw remote controls, break light bulbs. The list goes on and on. And it was a really bad time. I was afraid he was going to be asked to leave his home. It was that bad. The police were coming almost weekly. And, and I prayed and I prayed and I felt, you know, pretty helpless and even a little hopeless because, the house that we owned that I worked so hard for 7.5 years, he's happy living in. You know, the police were, you know, saying possibly he'd have to leave. Because the neighbors were, complaining and concerned, and I get it, I went on a retreat. In fact, you probably know these lovely people, Father Blunt and Anne.
Kathleen McCarthy.
Yes, I went on the recent retreat. It was right around the time when all that was happening, and I was prayed over, with one of the relics of St. Pio, whom I love, and. The man got the word that God hears my prayers. Three times he said it. And then within about a week, a gentleman comes here and interviews to work with Kevin. And I can't tell you how my heart has just been comforted. And I really feel affirmed in God's love. And he does hear our prayers. And he loves Kevin, and he loves all of our core members. You know, he has their backs. So that's the most recent miracle story.
Well, that's pretty profound. Father Blunt and Kathleen, that's quite a powerful retreat.
Yes.
And I'm so happy that you had the opportunity to get away for prayer.
Oh, I know. I am too. In fact, I went with one of my best friends, who also has a nonprofit in New Jersey called Visitation Home. So she's my mentor, my sister in Christ, and we went together. So it was really powerful.
Yeah, I want to get into how the Lord restores you besides the retreat. This is heavy duty lifting. To have seven homes and just even describing Kevin. Mm-hmm. Every day has to be a struggle. And how do you climb the mountain every day, Anne?
Well, by prayer, by the rosary. I have a great love for Our Lady. And, I commend everything to her, to Jesus through her, the Louis de Montfort. I just ask her to cover all of them under her mantle because, as a mother, I am prone to worry, and I feel like I have, 25 children. I take their responsibility very seriously because we are responsible for their lives. you know, and they're all medically and behaviorally fragile, you know, and not to mention all of the people that work for Emmaus Home. I also pray for them, for their strength and fortitude, because really, at the end of the day, they're the frontline workers, you know, the people that come into the home day in and day out and provide care for our residents. They need a tremendous amount of prayer and fortitude and patience.
Well, it's just amazing how the Lord has unveiled his divine will in your life and how powerful a story this is, talking about Kevin from 2015, and now you said you're going to be opening your eighth home?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. There's a school, a private school called Camp Hill. It's very, very good. Very kind of similar to L'Arche, you know, in that model of family life and family living, holistic living. You know, they plant, they harvest, they work in a farm market, and they care for people with disabilities. Unfortunately, once they age out and they graduate, they don't have anything for them in Pennsylvania. They'd have to move to Massachusetts. So I happened to have a connection with one of the families. They found out about Emmaus Home, and that's the seventh home we opened yesterday. It was for their son. So they purchased the home. It's a lovely home in Phoenixville. And then they basically rent it to us, to our nonprofit, and we provide the care for their son. So please keep them in your prayers. Keep Marcus in your prayers because he's brand new. But then one family tells another. So because the models are similar, there's another family, a second family, that, again, want us to license the home that they already have. They're right now with a big provider. I won't say their name, but they're all over the state, hundreds of thousands of people. And they're just not happy with the care because they're not giving support to their caretakers that they so desperately need. We're small enough that we're like a family. You know, we know everyone by name. In fact, most five of my children work for Emmaus Home, so we really are a family. I have a featured daughter-in-law that works for the organization. My son's son-in-law, my son-in-law's mother. So it's not nepotism, though.
So I'm just curious, before we go to a commercial break in 2 minutes, so Marcus has a home in Phoenixville. So is it a family member who takes care of him, or what do you have to put into place for his care in this new home?
Yeah, so it is a very long process. So first of all, we have to hire people, and his mother has been very active in that because we've hired some people from the school, Camp Hill. So that's going to really make his transition better because they already know him. But we have to go through all of his medical records. We have to give them a welcome letter, an acceptance letter that is all state approved. So everything we do, you know, has to go by the county and the state. We follow hundreds of regulations. We're inspected yearly. We really, really have to run a tight ship because of all of our regulations being licensed providers in the Medicaid world. His family, they certainly come to visit, and they have him home. They will have him home for weekends. But it is the workers that we screen and we hire that come into his home to support him, as well as all the people we care for.
Well, again, if you're just tuning in, our special guest today is Ann Leopold. She's the CEO of Emmaus Homes. And my friends, stay with us and stay on the line. We're going to cut to a commercial break, and when we come back, we have so much more to cover.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGrone, on Thy Will Be Done, and our special guest today is Anne Leopold, CEO of Emmaus Homes, and we're talking about homes for young men and women with disabilities, autism, developmental disabilities, and it was the first one was founded by Anne in 2015 for her fourth son, Kevin, and this is an amazing story. They opened up their seventh home yesterday in Phoenixville. So, Anne, you have to tell our listeners, how in the world, if they're listening now and they have a home or a car, you had mentioned you need cars, tell our listeners how they can help you.
Yeah, so if anybody out there has a gently used car to donate, we would be so grateful because along with each it's about $10,000 to start a home. You know, to secure it, to secure the first month, last month rent, as well as furnish it, and then have a car. So we need a car for Phoenixville, and then we need a car for, we have two apartments in Jenkintown, and so they need a car. Because none of our individuals drive, they have to be driven to everywhere, basically, that they want to go in the community. Several of our residents do work in day programs, workshops, so they need, it's our responsibility to transport them there. So, yes, we're in great need of two cars and always in need of, donations. We do have a website with a donation page and how you would set that up, whether a recurring, one-time, that kind of thing, and there's a donation button. And then we're also having our second annual golf outing April 23rd, 2023. So we definitely need golfers. So if you're a golfer and know some golfers, that would be a great way to support Emmaus Home.
And it is a 501c3.
Yes, we are a charity in Pennsylvania, yes.
Well, if someone's listening who has a lovely home that could be donated to Emmaus Homes, it would be wonderful. You said you have to lease. Someone will give it to you, but you lease it. You pay rent, and
yes.
So that works also. But I'm really going for the gold pot. You know, we're going for that special home for this ministry.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, a special home where you could integrate the farming aspect, you know, the ministry aspect. You can integrate all the things that are on your heart, that the Lord has placed on your heart. A place for Emmaus Home, a home of Emmaus Home. So anyone who's listening who would like to do that, pray about it. And then contact Anne Leopold at emmaushomes.org, right? emmaushome.org.
That's correct, Kathleen, and that'll give a great website with all the information, our mission statement, our vision, our leadership, our needs, our programs, and also we're always in need of caretakers, people that want to work, want to make a difference in the life you know, of God's beloved, of these people that are so near and dear to God's heart. And so we're always, you know, looking for good people to work for us. So you can get the information on the website as far as that goes as well.
And, you know, I have to ask, I do this with Larry when he's on the air. I need to know how this has changed your life. I mean, it's obvious in terms of your busyness, but spiritually, how has this changed you, your heart, your prayer life?
Yeah, so I still sometimes look up and laugh. I think, oh, Lord, you know, you certainly do use the you write straight with crooked lines, put it that way, because I am a very weak person, and I struggle, you know, every day, you know, to try to get up and renew my life. And certainly I rely on God so much more now, because there is so much responsibility, and I know that I can't do anything on my own except mess things up. But with him, you know, I can do it, and I trust in him more, because even, you know, when you're dealing with so many different layers, you know, we deal with, first of all, our core members, and then their families, then the state, and then, you know, it's just a lot. And so you just never know what's going to happen day to day. But, you know, when I realized when I lay it down at the Lord's feet, and give it over to him, and then I had peace. But then I know if it's about me, then I get very anxious and upset and impatient. So I think it's taught me to not rely on myself but on him more, as well as trust that this is his, Emmaus Home is his.
So what is your vision for the future? Do you have a vision, or is it day-to-day?
We have kind of a strategic plan to definitely open more homes, because there is such a need, but we have to be prudent because we've grown very quickly in a short period of time, and we want to do it well. You know, we have to make sure all the systems are in place, and that's what my daughter does. You know, my daughter is an MSW, and she's now the COO and CFO, and she's an amazing dealing with the state and all the various policies and procedures. So she talks the talk of the state, whereas I don't. but there you go, God again, you know, he sends people to do the work. He sends people with those, you know, gifts and talents that I don't have. So, but I do certainly want to grow, and I also want to establish a spiritual leader, somebody we identify that can go to all of the homes and just be with them and pray with them and, you know, listen to them, and then also lead, you know, monthly days of prayer where they can all come together. Maybe that's what I talked about earlier, and they could bring people with them, or friends can come, family, the greater community. So I definitely would like to see that happen, as well as, you know, growing prudently.
And do you see this as a national outgrowth from your organic growth here in the Mid-Atlantic region, or do you sense the Lord just wants to keep it in the Mid-Atlantic region?
You know, I oftentimes talk to people in other states that do not have the great services that we do in Pennsylvania. I talked to a lady the other day from Vermont, and she has two nephews who have autism that live in group homes. I think there's one provider in the whole state. So I was like, wow, you know, that, and I start thinking, you know, maybe the Lord does want us to expand, because you can. I mean, you could replicate the model in other states, but you just have to be compliant with that state's, you know, regulations, because every state is a little different. So, yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that where there's a need. I know my daughter definitely wants to grow that way. But, yeah, I wouldn't just stay in southeast Penn. We are actually in north central region of the state. We have a home in York County, which is west of Harrisburg. So mm-hmm. we have a great potential there because it's so rural. There's not that many people that have homes like we do.
It's just astonishing, Anne. I remember in 2015 or 16 meeting you and hearing about your dream, your vision, and just to hear, I mean, it was so providential for you to contact me at this time because there is such a great need. And to hear your story, how this ministry, this outgrowth of your faith, your faithfulness to what God has called you to, it's an astonishing story that needs to be shared. You know, specifically.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Anne. You know, Larry does, the Holy Spirit really uses him a lot in my life. And I think it was he who actually suggested, why don't you get in touch with Anne? So when I do listen to him, it usually works out.
Well, I'm sure he's listening, and I need to have him on the air again.
Yeah,
because of the topic of the divine will. Do you live the life of the divine will, and do you teach that at all? Can you teach this to your residents?
Just a little bit, but I can't say that I read, you know, Luisa Picaretta's books. I'm really am not involved in it at the level that Larry is.
Mm-hmm. Well,
someday.
I mean, he's one of a kind.
I mean, I certainly believe in it.
Yes. Oh, well, of course. The surrender, the living in the present moment.
Yes. Yeah, and that's really where our core members are. They live in the moment, which is, you know, why they're so delightful. I just love being with them, really. What you see is what you get in all of it. And everything, you know. Their behaviors,
Tell our listeners, Anne, you know, what brings you the greatest joy? You have a hard job, and I'm sure with all the paperwork, and even though you have a beautiful family and beautiful people working with you, what brings you the greatest joy in a typical day or week?
Yeah, I think it's just hanging out with our core members and being with my son, you know, who is the catalyst to all of this. I have him over, Kevin, once a week overnight he stays, and I can't tell you the joy I have when I'm in his presence. Because when you're in all their presence, you really feel like you're in God's presence because of their sinlessness. You know, they're all saints, basically.
Yes.
And that is a great joy.
Is there a spiritual director who works with you and advises you, or you're basically on your own?
Well, I have Larry, my husband, and I have my friend from New Jersey, Denise. We don't mm-hmm. have a priest right now. We've had priests on the board in the past, but they're so busy and are all pulled in so many different directions. Unfortunately, we don't have anyone now. So that's also a prayer and a hope that we do get that leader, that spiritual leader that's so important, and even for the staff, you know, because we can't say, are you Catholic? You know, you can't work unless you're going to church. So we have a lot of unchurched people even that really aren't comfortable praying or showing any kind of, you know, devotion. So they really could use mentorship in that area.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the families of the, you know, 18 to whatever age, men and women with autism and developmental disabilities, mm-hmm. the need to reach out to the families. Of course, that's not something that you can handle at this point, but down the road, perhaps.
Yeah,
the need
that's why, you know,
tremendous.
It would be lovely to have some kind of a community where they can come and we can have advocacy nights or, you know, just meeting and greeting and talking about our common lives, you know, in caring for our adult children with disabilities, because it doesn't get easier. Like I said, we don't have the stamina that we had when they were little. And, you know, they're big now. I could pick Kevin up and carry him off if he was, you know, getting into something, but now I can't. You know, he's bigger than I am. And, you know, it's a hard thing, though. The parents struggle with a lot of guilt. So I do have some parents that are not ready to give their children to a Emmaus home, so to speak. You know, and that's a hard decision to come to, and I respect that. But even that's something that I would love to be able to share to help them.
Sure.
There's a lot of facets to having a child with disabilities.
Yeah, you know, that's, and especially autism, isn't it? 1 in 8 little boys are born with autism now. I'm not sure of the statistics.
It was like 1 in, maybe 27.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't looked at the statistics lately, but yeah, there's a lot more people out there with autism than you can imagine. And we do have a couple guys with Down syndrome, and they're just amazing. Our one guy, Ken, is very social and loves to dance and loves the Eagles and the Phillies and the Sixers, and he's just delightful. So we do try to get them together monthly for a lunch, so we're all getting together next week for a little Halloween party. So they do like to get together and eat and share celebrations.
Well, again, Anne, I want you to take this opportunity because we have people who are just tuning in, getting out of work, or their children are home from school. Tell our listeners, my friends, it's Emmaus, E-M as in Mary, M as in Mary, A-U-S, home.org. Tell our listeners your specific needs of 2 cars and perhaps a home.
Yeah, so we have 2 homes presently that don't have cars. And so right now the people that work with them have to drive them around, and that gets costly because we have to reimburse them for their miles. So to have their own car would just be so much more convenient and just better for the organization's finances. So we have a need for 2 modest cars. Used is fine as long as they're working. And then we need a home. You know, we could use a home, a gift of a home, that would help us. Obviously, we wouldn't, you know, if we owned it outright, it would be another asset. We have a need for donors, you know, whether one time, monthly, and mostly prayers, you know, just prayers for living in God's will and giving Him glory, but prudence in taking in people that we're capable of caring for. That's a whole other discernment, you know, when we get the referral. And prayer for our residents and their families and for our people that work for Emmaus Home.
And do you ever turn any clients down? Have you had an opportunity to do that?
Yes, unfortunately, we have had to. We've had many referrals. Some people have even been in prison. So there are people with disabilities, sadly, that do go to jail. And it's not a good place, you know, when you have a cognitive impairment. We've had people that are just too violent. We've had people that are too medically fragile. They have feeding tubes and, you know, they need all kinds of care that we can't provide. We don't have an RN on the staff. Yes, so unfortunately, sadly, we can't accept everyone. But the Lord did tell me, you know, people will come that you can't help everyone, but you can pray for them and pray that they'll get, you know, they'll get the care they need where they need.
So, Anne, do you have
growing curve?
It's a huge curve, Anne. And I'm just thinking, do you ever have the opportunity to go out to speak to corporations or church groups
I'm really glad you asked that, Anne, because I'm looking for those opportunities very much now that, you know, I do have a wonderful team. I don't have to wear 10 hats and do the things I used to do, and I really want to do more of speaking and fundraising, and just telling the Emmaus Home story. I did speak a few weeks ago at the Lions Club near the apartment we have in Jenkintown. And I'm waiting on a call from possibly La Goddess, because any of you out there listening, if you are a member or know of a member, I would love to be able to speak to them. But corporations, yeah, that would be great. Churches, that would be great. I have spoken at churches, but it's been a few years. Due to the pandemic, not many churches were letting anyone speak, if they were even open, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we have a lot of listeners with prayer groups. I mean, large prayer groups and conferences. And a lot of times corporations need a nonprofit speaker. And you're perfect. I mean, to share your story is amazing. And everyone happens to be touched by someone with autism or a developmental disability. So, my friends, if you're just tuning in, be sure to invite Ann Leopold of Emmaus Homes to come and speak, because the story is so needed. It's so needed. You know, it's the placement of young men and women from 18 up, young adults, as you say, but they don't have to leave. As many organizations make people leave at a certain age. So Anne can tell the story, and she has a superb staff who will guide you through it if you're just tuning in saying, what in the world is this? So please. Yeah, I mean, Anne, I'm so happy. So happy you are continuing in this work, and happy to hear about the Seventh Home in Phoenixville and the apartments in Jenkintown. And God is moving.
Yes, he sure is. The Holy Spirit's always at work. And, you know, I do have to say, raising Kevin, I just always assumed one of his siblings would care for him when I died. And I thought, you know, I came to the realization that I didn't think that was really fair or realistic. And so that was another catalyst for me starting Emmaus Home. But families really do need to plan early and have those conversations, because it doesn't mean you're giving up your child, you're giving up on him or her. But you do deserve to have a life as well, you know, because oftentimes everything revolves around your child with disabilities, and a lot of marriages don't last, quite honestly. There's so much tension and anxiety. But you do deserve a life, and you do deserve to have peace. And so does your adult child. You know, the best thing in the world is when Kevin comes over and he says, I want to go home. And so he really does consider his home his home. And I think that's when you know it's been successful.
Well, and thank you for being with us today. And I pray that someone who is listening can help with the two cars, gently used cars, not the Flintstone mobile, something that's really working that she doesn't have to fix.
Oh, it's funny. We have a car right now that's in the shop, so we have to go pick it up. But luckily, it was only a dead battery.
And perhaps home.
Thank you, Anne, for this wonderful opportunity.
Oh, Anne, give my love to Larry, and I will be contacting him in the coming weeks. And thank you for all that you're doing, my friend.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye now.
All right, bye-bye. Well, my friends, you just heard from Anne Leopold from Emmaus, E-M-M-A-U-S, Homes. If you want to contact her, it's emmaushome.org. They have a website. You can see what they're doing. The website is beautiful. They now have 7 homes, 2 for girls and 5 for men. There's a waiting list. It's for young men. Oh, not young. You could be 18 and older. Those with autism or developmental disabilities. And sometimes people are elderly and they're saying, we don't know what to do. We want to have the best care for our son or daughter or our relative. What should we do? Contact Emmaus Homes, because they are state licensed. They're a 501c3. Anne Leopold and Larry Leopold are devout Catholics, but you do not have to be a Christian or Catholic to participate in this powerful outreach. Or if you are part of a prayer group, a conference, a business, invite Anne. She's an outstanding speaker to come and share how all her work is just astonishing and how God has fulfilled her dream. She wanted to help her son in 2015, and it's evolved into 7 homes with more to come. So it's just so providential and so such a blessing to have people like Anne Leopold on the air with us. I mean, that's what this ministry is about. You know, it's sharing stories of hope. Anne Leopold is a woman of courage. She's a woman of grit. I mean, she knew that her son needed help in 2015, and look what has evolved, because she was silent and she listened, and then she moved. She moved in a new direction. Do you think Anne wanted to spend the rest of her life doing this? I'm not sure. She had a full family, but that now her family is participating in this beautiful outreach. So God has a plan for all of us, doesn't he? So maybe you're listening to this program for the first time wondering, should I get involved? You know, there are so many outreaches that the Lord wants us to plug into these days. He wants us to plug into. And I also want to encourage you to look up In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. My friends, the upcoming Ad Lumina Christi retreat with Kathleen McCarthy and Father Dermot Roche is the first week of November at Malvern Retreat House. It starts on a Monday night and ends on a Friday morning. You don't want to miss it. I understand that Malvern opened another building for Kathleen and Father Dermot. Everyone who attends talks about the power, the love, the compassion, and the movement of the Holy Spirit. So check out Ad Lumina Christi Retreat with Kathleen McCarthy at Malvern Retreat House. You can call Malvern during a typical workday. Just say the Kathleen McCarthy Retreat the first week of November. And then, of course, she has her golf outing. They're looking for gift baskets, golfers. Come on. Even if you don't golf, why don't you sponsor a priest? Call Maureen Powers for more information at 610-527-2906. She'll tell you what's needed for this wonderful, wonderful fundraiser. Again, golfers are needed, people to sponsor priests, some gift baskets, and even if you don't golf, you can attend the dinner. So it's wonderful, wonderful. And more information is available through the website or from Maureen Powers, who would love to share this information with you. Tomorrow, Kathleen McCarthy will be back, as far as I know, live on the air on Facebook and on WTMR 800 on the AM dial for 2 hours from 4 to 6 p.m. So be sure to tune in. She could not make it last week, but this week I'm sure it'll be a power-packed program. You don't want to miss it. So many wonderful things are happening through this Catholic radio network. We want to make sure that it continues. It is a beacon of light, a beacon of hope, and of course, it is your prayer source. It is your prayer source outside of your parish, your church, for people to pray for you. It is your power source up to heaven and through the Holy Spirit. So let us pray again for all the people who have been affected by the hurricanes in Puerto Rico and also Florida and the Carolinas. Let us pray as a community for all those who are hurting. And remember Emmaus Home. It's a very powerful outreach. Look it up or have someone you know with a cell phone or internet or laptop to help you. But in the meantime, next Monday, we'll be back again together live. And I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.